Hi, my name's Kurt Yeager, and I'm the next guest on Screen and Beyond.
On Screen and Beyond, an inside look into the entertainment world featuring interviews with people from the movie, TV, and music industry, news on upcoming TV and DVD releases, and the rumor mill. And now, here's the host of On Screen and Beyond, Brian Zemrak.
We are back really quick here at On Screen and Beyond. I'm your host, Brian Zemrak, and this is episode 671 of the show that keeps you updated on what's coming your way as far as upcoming new movies, remakes, sequels, and TV and movie DVD releases, as well as our interview segment with a guest from the movie, TV, or music industry. This week, or this day, on Screen and Beyond, we have another guest. Kurt Yeager is coming our way. He is in the new movie Lionsgate Sunrise, which is coming out tomorrow, January 19th. So be sure to check that out. He is, has a great role in the film, and we got to talk about that in a few minutes right here on Screen and Beyond. So Kurt's a good guy to listen to, and he's coming up. He was also in, you might remember him from Sons of Anarchy. He was in there for quite a few episodes, and he was also in The Good Doctor, Tommy and Bobby, Quantum Leap, all sorts of stuff. And Kurt Yeager is coming up right here in a few minutes on Screen and Beyond. And I want to remind you, Patrick Duffy is coming our way, and hope you're going to enjoy that one when it gets here. It's actually going to be our next episode, I believe, on Screen and Beyond. So it's going to be a lot of fun talking about Dallas and all those things. And as I said in the last episode, he is going to be at the Arinda Theater in Arinda, California on February 10th. And he is going to be performing Love Letters right there live on stage. Patrick Duffy sitting next to Linda Pearl, and they're going to be performing this play. It's a Pulitzer Prize winning play, and it's a great, great show to go see. And especially around Valentine's Day, you know, it's a Saturday, February 10th, a couple days before. But, you know, hey, that's all right. It's going to be a great time. So hope you're going to be checking that out. And if you're in the San Francisco Bay Area, be sure to be there. And we also want to remind you that if you're looking for an On Screen and Beyond hat, T-shirt, coffee mug, water bottle, whatever you want, go to onscreenandbeyond.com, and right there on the front page, right at the top, it says On Screen and Beyond merchandise. Click on that. That'll get you right to where you got to go. You get three logos you can pick from, or if you want one of each, whatever you want to do, they're right there, and a lot of good stuff, so be sure to check that out. Well, we are going to have some more things coming your way as far as remakes, sequels, and prequels, and new movies and everything. A lot of interesting stuff. Like I say, things seem to be rolling along faster and faster with all the announcements and everything. And we're going to give it all to you. Coming up next, remakes, sequels, and prequels right here on Screen and Beyond.
Please hang up and try again.
Remake, sequels, and prequels. Daisy Ridley is teasing her role in an upcoming Star Wars film. She doesn't say what it is, doesn't say when it is, which one it will be, one, two, three, whatever, how many more before it gets here. She says the story is going to take things in a different direction. What does that mean? We'll find out. And the remake of Frankenstein from Maggie Gyllenhaal is a go, with Penelope Cruz and Peter Sarsgaard, and Christian Bale now has Annette Bening joining the cast. And big news, Top Gun 3 is in the works with Tom Cruise and Paramount. And March 8th, Kung Fu Panda 4 lands in theaters. That's it for remakes, sequels, and prequels. Coming up next on Screen and Beyond, what's coming your way as far as upcoming new movies? We got it right here next on Screen and Beyond. Upcoming new movies, Mark Wahlberg and Rosa Salinger will star in Play Dirty. Wahlberg plays a professional thief. And Anna Faris has joined the cast of a new film called I, Object. And Marlon Wayans will star in a psychological horror film. And we'll see what he does with that one. And that's it for upcoming new movies. Coming up next on Screen and Beyond, it is movies and TV on DVD and streaming. Movies on TV on DVD and streaming. It looks like The Marvels flies onto Blu-ray, 4K, and DVD on February 13th. Priscilla will be arriving on Blu-ray on February 13th. And also on February 13th, Ben Affleck in Hypnotic comes to Blu-ray and DVD. Fear the Walking Dead Season 8 will be strolling on to DVD and Blu-ray on February 27th. And Miranda's Victim hits Blu-ray and DVD on February 27th. And that's it for movies and TV on DVD and streaming. Coming up next on Screen and Beyond, it's TV and entertainment time.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's Olly.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, this is Anthony Russo on Screen and Beyond.
TV and entertainment time. Well, on January 30th, Quantum Leap will be jumping into Season 2B. And Young Sheldon's final season premieres on February 15th on CBS. And Ghosts Season 3 starts also on February 15th. And that's it for TV and entertainment time. Coming up next on Screen and Beyond, we sit down with Kurt Yeager, one of the stars of the film Sunrise from Lionsgate, coming our way on January 19th. That's tomorrow. And that's going to be, we've seen him in Sons of Anarchy, The Good Doctor, and a whole lot of other things. So we're going to talk about all of that as much as we can get in the time we have. And Kurt Yeager coming up next right here on Screen and Beyond. Today we have stepping up to the On Screen and Beyond mic, an actor who we have seen on NCIS Hawaii, Quantum Leap, Station 19, SEAL Team, The Good Doctor, Tommy and Bobby, NCIS Los Angeles, The Sons of Anarchy, and many others. His current film is Sunrise, which he is also an executive producer on. It's Kurt Yeager. Kurt, welcome to On Screen and Beyond.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
Now, Kurt, I've seen the film.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it, but
you like it? Good. Yes, that's a good first step, right? Yeah.
But just for our audience, can you give them an idea of what the film is and your role in the film?
Yeah, very interesting film. It's a vampire story in a small town that's all about fear and about the fear inside of you. Right? Because you have to invite a vampire in. The fear in you that actually takes it out into the self-destructive nature of what fear can do to you. And in this small town, a little xenophobia plus the thriller element on top of the film that sort of like drives the narrative forward towards the end results. And I'm playing a character D, who's the, I would say, what would you say? The local sheriff. He's a local cop who's in charge of everything.
You were rotten. I mean, I mean, you did the role good. You did the role good, but you were a rotten person.
A rotten good. You know? I think that exactly. Like I think D is like a sweet, sweet man who listens to the wrong people and does the wrong things on a regular basis. If he just listened to himself, he wouldn't do any of those things.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so it's a rottenness, but like you see him like get really weak also really fast, like because he doesn't believe in it. And that's, if you don't have a belief in something, then you can't stand up for it. But if he believed it, he would have wiped people out right away.
Yeah.
So it's just like he's preying on the weak.
Well, you know, when I saw one specific scene where Alex grabs you and flips the gun.
Yeah.
Okay. The look on your face.
Yeah.
I don't want to say what I'm thinking, but you know, it's a family
say
show.
Say what you're thinking. Say what you're thinking.
I thought you must have shit yourself. I mean, but the look on your face, I got to hand you, you know, your acting ability is great, because the look on your face really made me believe that you were scared. Whereas before, just before that scene started, you know, you were the tough guy. You were, you know, you were the boss. But all of a sudden, you know, like you say, you changed real quick.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that, you know, playing that moment, for instance, the fear comes from the surprise, the turn of events, the fact that someone did something so fast to me where that's never happened before. Mm-hmm. Right? Like that fear that it could happen is like the same fear of, let's say you've never been arrested and then all of a sudden you're arrested. You're like, wait a minute, how did that happen? Like, that doesn't happen. Right. Or, you know, I lost my leg in a motorcycle accident. You're like, doesn't happen to me. That happens to other people. Like, so it's like that had like that element in it. Like the, oh my goodness, why is this happening? I don't understand. I'm now, my gun's gone. It's in my face. There's a gun pointed at me right, like I don't know what to do because I'm surprised. I think that's like that moment. Yeah. Oh, I'm glad you caught that, because it's a really powerful moment. Like,
oh yeah,
it's sort of his downfall in a way. Like he knows he's weak. That's why when you get to the other one, he's not even fighting because he knows he has no chance.
Yeah,
he's like, okay, it's like it's like, you know, what are those plants? Not a the animal's a praying mantis, but what's the plants that like. Venus flytrap.
Oh, the ones that eat you know.
Yeah. You ever seen a bug go in there? It's like, all right. Like, you're like, I'm dead. I know it. This sucks. Like, they give up. And that's kind of like what D does at the end. He's like, I get it. I'm done.
But as an actor, how do you get into that? I mean, like I say, your character changed so fast in that second. And how did you do that? You know, the look on your face was just so.
I don't know. I mean, sometimes it just comes like naturally, maybe. But for me, like where mine comes from is like trying to understand psychology, right? Like, you know, when like really understanding like how people behave, and in that moment, it's very akin to something like someone trying to portray an individual who's drunk, right? Mm-hmm. Like I wouldn't play someone who's drunk, because you think, oh, I'm drunk. All right. When you're, because the reality is when you're drunk, you're trying to act sober. You're trying to be normal, you know, but you let it slip, but no.
Yeah.
I'm going to focus. Like that's drunk, because you're trying not to look drunk.
Right.
So exactly. When you're afraid, you're trying not to look afraid, but it comes through. Like there's like, what's the antithesis that is the totality of the truth? Like trying to find that. Sometimes it's hard. I've definitely not done it on screen, you know, but I'm glad you got that one. Yeah.
Yeah. It just amazes me when I see actors doing this, like, how do they do this? You know?
Yeah. It's great, but, Brian. Thank you. Yeah.
So how did you become an executive producer on the film?
Yeah. Well, I was looking for projects that I wanted to be a part of, and then got sent a script from my good friend, Kevin, who runs a production company called Traveling Picture Show Company. And he's like, dude, you got to take a look at this script. It's really fun. And there's some interesting people involved. Read it, loved it. It's like, who's involved? And like Andrew Baird. I'm like, let me go look at his work. Cause I didn't know his work. And I thought it was just artistically beautiful. And I was like, okay, there's something here. And I'm like, what's the money? Oh, the money's good. Okay. It's a good position. Looks pretty good. Who are the actors? Guy Pierce. Done. Right. Like, so that's good. And then where are we filming it? Okay. In Ireland. Okay. How's that going to work? I've never filmed there. Northern Ireland. And I was like, okay, yeah. This seems like something I want to do. And then the character is really good. And I was like, for me, it has to be a combination of all those things. If I'm going to come in to produce, like if I'm going to come in as acting, the script has to be good and the character has to be good. Even the director, I don't mind as much if I don't know them or their work, because I'm like, as long as they do their job, I can do mine, mm-hmm. You know, and the more I work with directors I don't even know, the better I get as an actor, because they'll tell me direction in a different manner. So I have to be able to hear what they're saying from their perspective and interpret that and then be able to portray that instantaneously. Yeah. So the film, though, you know, I just felt like it's going to be one of those films that is going to be a quiet success. It's going to come out. Everyone's going to go, what was that film? And they're going to keep watching it and watching it and watching it. And it'll just have this run of like lasting, you know, that product. Like I can watch it because it's beautiful. Then I watched again and oh my gosh, look at the fear and the thriller. Oh, there's more elements to it. I could probably watch that one more time. Let me invite someone over and we'll watch it. You know, like, oh, you see the scene where they're traveling over the bus and they're doing, you know, it's just beautiful. And you're like, I feel cold. Like I feel cold watching this. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, that's how I felt. Felt like when I read the script, I was like, okay, I could just see that it has longevity.
Yeah.
And some of my favorite films, frankly, are ones that many people, it didn't make like an Oscar list, like House of Sand and Fog. I don't know if you saw that, like brilliant film, or even Guy's film that he did, The Proposition, that I love. Like people go, like, I haven't seen that. And I'm like, you got to watch those films. They're better than the Oscar winner films, you know? They are.
It is. It's funny how, you know, not necessarily the ones that are the ones that make the Oscars. You know, there's so many great films out there.
Yeah. I always think it should be like the Oscar should have best film of the year by Oscar people and then best film of the year.
Right. Well, and on this film, Sunrise, it's a horror. But it doesn't lean or try to make people watch by the blood and the gore.
Yeah.
It's there's a story and the characters are driving it, as opposed to, you know, okay, let's see how many legs we can cut off and all this stuff. You know, it's not like that. It's, you know, I kept waiting because, you know, I never know what's the films are going to be like, and I'm waiting. Like, okay, well, there's no gratuitous stuff that's really, really bad, you know, and it's got a story, and it's interesting when I see something like that, because that is filmmaking.
Right. It's a grounded horror. The fear comes out of the individuals. The horror comes out of their behavior. Mm-hmm. Not four people running through a house making horrible decisions before they die.
Right. Like,
who cares? What do you want to do, Susie? I don't know, Johnny. Well, let's split up.
Yeah. Let's go in the basement.
Yeah.
Or go in the attic.
There's no way out of the basement. Like, there's no way out of the attic. Go outside and run down the street. Or you see someone running from a car and they're running right down the middle of the road. You're like, yeah. Run to the left where there's no road. Like, just go that way. You know, like, you just, like, it's silly. Like, that's the kind of stuff that I despise. And so a well-written thing where the characters are making logical mistakes that I would make in real life, where you might not realize it. And that's what's causing your demise. That's fear. That's horror. That's John Carpenter.
Exactly.
That's John Carpenter films, right? Like Christine, if they didn't pick on that kid, he wouldn't have ever come for them. But he went too far. Right. Okay, here you go. Exactly. Your own power becomes your own demise. If you look at like Escape from New York, what happens in the future if we're not dealing with criminal elements and then something happens? Like, whoa, right? And then you create Snake Plissken, who's too powerful. Oh, so cool. Or even The Thing, right? Like you got eight guys who end up like just not being able to trust each other and implode and in the snow. And it's just like, don't isolate yourself like most men do is the theme.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that's something more than just that.
Yeah. Yeah. And
but you know, there's a place for those other films too. Cause there's,
oh so yeah. Fun. Yeah. But you know, like
those are more like eight people sitting around drinking a beer and laughing and not needing to really hear the dialogue.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Hi, this is Annie Potts, and I'm on Screen and Beyond.
Had you ever worked?
Go ahead. Sorry.
Have you ever worked with any of the people in the cast or anybody that's in the film?
Nope, not one. Which was great. Yeah, I mean, not that I don't want to work with people. You know,
right.
That
I
work with. Yeah, all the people I've ever worked with are shit. I got to work with new people. No, I didn't, but Jib, who's one of the producers, and Martin, who's a producer, and Janine, they're just wonderful people. I was really impressed by how they were able to juggle the schedules and get things done and totally in a calm way. Guy was phenomenal. Like watching him act, I felt like I was making a movie while watching a performance.
Like I just want to strangle him though.
Yeah, I know. Right. But like the scene between him and I, we had a lot of scenes between him and I, but the scene where I'm playing pool and I'm just like, yeah, I'll go, whatever. And he just like, and I'm like, oh, you know, it's like this, it's like, you see that and he's ready to smash my head in, but he knows that's one step too far for my loyalty,
mm-hmm.
You know? And even though I'm mad at him, it's not quite enough for me to break ranks.
Yeah.
And frustrated.
Does he switch off? I mean, from such a high intense scene, when they say cut, does he just, oh, let's go have a beer? Or yeah, I mean, does he switch like that?
You know what's interesting about him is I switch to let's have a beer. And people, like, I've played contract killers, like I've played some dark characters, and they're like, how do you just go right back into it? I'm like, it's psychosis, you know, it's personal disorder, you know, personality disorder. Like, yeah, of course. But what Guy does, and I think I'm probably going to utilize this, is he doesn't switch off. What he does is he does it and then switches back into learning mode. So he'll walk over and look at the script and go, and look at his notes and evaluate and really be there. And like, sometimes he'll just walk off and he's evaluating what he did as a professional. So he's intense and then he's off camera intense, not as like the character,
yeah,
but like he's thinking about movements and motions. And was that what the character would he do this or would he do that? Like, why? What's the psychology behind it? I mean, like, if you think about it from a psychological position, if I'm going to lie to you, a lot of people do this. They look down to the left when they lie, when they know they're lying. Almost never this way, right? They don't look down left when they're trying to conceive of the lie. They know they're going to lie about it. But the conception of a lie is up and to the left. So that's where you're like imagining what the lie could be. Like, and there's like little things, and it's not for every person in every category, but that is a general rule. So then you're like, does my character do that? Or did Kurt Yeager, the actor, mistakenly do that and the character needs to do that? Yeah. And so like, I saw him doing that and it was a lesson in acting. Like, yeah. It was just beautiful to watch. And I'm not one, seriously, bro, I'm not one that's like, guy's the best, and he was a total fucking asshole, right? Like, oh, can I say F-bombs? Anyways, like, I would totally be like, eh, whatever. But like, and so I only laud praise on someone I think who actually deserves it. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not a kiss ass guy. Yeah. So like, his stuff was really great, and watching him work was great. But yeah, he's intense, but he's not like, he wasn't like a character actor in terms of like, or a method actor, you know, like, I don't know what it's like to work with Daniel Day-Lewis, but I've heard that he is the character, period. Every day, all day. Like, he doesn't carry around a cell phone if it's like in the 1850s. Like, he's like, nope, I don't have one. What do you mean? Yeah. Self? What's a cell phone? You know, I'm like, all right. But is he not the greatest actor of our time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So maybe there's something to it.
Yeah. Well, Kurt, I know we're running out of time here, and I want to finish up with one final question. Yeah. But before I do that, I want to remind people to catch Sunrise. Be sure to check that out in theaters on demand and everything else. And
tweet me about it. Send Instagram notes to me about it. I want to hear what you thought. Like, really, like good and bad. Tell me. Be truthful.
Yeah. All right. And but the final question.
Yes.
When you sit back and relax, there's so many other things I wanted to talk to you about, and I apologize. I wanted to get into working with disabled people and all that stuff, but we don't have time. So, but I wanted to ask you, what is your favorite TV shows now and of the past, and what's your favorite movies now and of the past?
Well, I just finished that show, Silo. Have you seen Silo on
no, I haven't.
Apple TV?
Haven't seen that one. Just got Apple TV, so...
I just watched it. I'm not involved. I don't have any friends on it. Like, it's great. I just was like, there's a season two, and they're starting to film it or doing whatever right now. So that was fantastic. And then I really liked The Old Man. I don't know if you saw that.
Yes, I saw that.
I mean, who doesn't like what's his face?
Dennis.
Not
Dennis.
He was Big Lebowski.
yeah, I know. I'm trying to draw a blanket. whatever.
Jeff
Bridges. Yes.
Jeff Bridges. I mean, he was Tron. He was Tron.
Yeah.
He was Tron. Right. But those are two really, really good projects that are shows that I've watched. But we literally just finished Silo last night.
Yeah.
So I really like that. What was the other question?
Movies.
Oh, movies. Oh gosh. Sunrise. I mean,
yeah.
What am I going to say? Like, if I'm the actor, like, and not saying Sunrise, I'm going to fire me. If I'm the producer not saying Sunrise, I should quit.
Well, Kurt, our time is up. So I want to thank you very much for taking the time to join us and share your information.
Thank you.
Have.
Well, and, I'm happy to come back on and talk about the other stuff on another date.
I would love to.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. All right. So thanks for joining us.
All right. Thanks, Brian.
And a big thank you to Kurt Yeager for joining us here at On Screen and Beyond. And he is in Sunrise. Be sure to check that out. Coming to theaters and on demand on January 19th, tomorrow. So hope you'll check that out. And we've got a lot of other things that he has been in, and we should have talked to him about more, but we're restricted on time. You know, sometimes when we do these interviews, we have, 10 minutes or 15 or 20 or, whatever they give us. And, so much more I want to talk to Kurt about, and hopefully we can get him back on here to talk about the different things he's done and also some of the things that he does out on his own. So be interesting to have him back here. Hope we can schedule that and arrange it. But we've got more and more stuff coming your way right here on Screen and Beyond. So hope you'll keep listening to On Screen and Beyond. If you're on one of the podcast providers getting this, please, please, please help us out. Help me out by putting in a review. You know, or at least give us a 5-star review if you can. If you can type something up, that would be good. You know, turn around and type a review. Hopefully you've enjoyed this. A 5-star review always helps us out and it helps more and more people learn about On Screen and Beyond. And it really does. And the big thing, tell a friend about On Screen and Beyond. We've got so many different things that we've done over the years. So many guests, interesting people. Be sure to have your friends learn about that. And also, download. Download as much as you can and listen to all those episodes. And we'd appreciate that. So we are just about at the end of another episode of On Screen and Beyond. So I hope that you will be, joining us in the next episode. I'm not positive. I think that's going to be the episode with Patrick Duffy, the next episode, I believe. So I hope that you are going to be looking out for that one. You know, Patrick comes in with that whole Dallas thing that he was in and everything. It's such a great show, and we're going to talk about that and so much more. So I hope you'll listen to that, and we'll have Linda Pearl joining us probably the week after, and we'll just get more and more stuff coming your way. So I hope you'll keep listening and tell a friend about On Screen and Beyond. Well, that's it. That's a wrap for this episode of On Screen and Beyond. So until next time, when we once again take you on screen and beyond, I'm Brian Zemrak. Take care.